I'm opening my Bible to the Gospel of Matthew, the 28th chapter. Before we look at that, I'm thinking of the reality of the power of the Word, ancient words, yet God's alive words. I'm thinking of the foolishness of preaching. And yet how blessed I was at the sunrise service this morning. And Tim sharing that it was the 21st sunrise service here that he has preached at. And I was thinking, this is golden anniversary? This is the 50th Easter Sunday I've preached. The same old story, the same old words. What's going to make a difference? Certainly not myself. I can't make it different. I don't know how many sermons. I'm trying to think here. No, I'm not the oldest. I'm pretty close to the oldest one here today. But how many times haven't we heard this? And is it just words? And that's where I go back to the promise of God and the reality that His Word, ancient words, the same old Word, does not return empty. But God has something for each one of us. In one sense, I want to say, Tim, you stole my thrust this morning. I'm preaching the same thing. Of course, it's the same resurrection. But His words, so articulate and carefully put together under the inspiration of the Word by the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to look at the same old story. But I pray by the grace of God it is not the same old story for you, but that His Spirit would continue to burn reality within us. Or otherwise we're wasting our time. Go home. Well, you had your chance. Let's pray. Father, once again, we open Your Word. Privileged to have, to hold Your Word. For physical eyes to see. And I pray for so much more than that. I pray for the moving of Your Holy Spirit in such a way that You burn these words within, not necessarily our minds, but maybe there, but definitely within our hearts and our souls and our beings. Lord God, I think of a couple of those sinners who came to this prophet, Messiah, teacher, and shared with the disciples, we want to see Jesus. May we want to see Jesus through the Word today. And cause us, as we give glory to You, not to be the same. Thank You. Thank You now, in Jesus' name. I pray, trusting we pray. Amen. They had been there at the end. They had seen. As we look at our text this morning, we're also looking at Mark 16, 1 through 8, Luke 24, 1 through 12, and John 20, especially 1 and 2. Because the Holy Spirit, through the four writers of the Gospels, give us different details, different facts, different reflections of, but all truth as it's put together. But they had been there at the end, the women, the men, the 11, for the most part, had scattered. Fear of the Jews and perhaps the Romans. Hiding behind locked doors. Yes, the women were there. The women who had witnessed the agony, heard the last seven words. And thank you, you seven who shared them with us Friday night. My heart was again blessed, encouraged and challenged as we heard not just the same old words, but from God's Spirit working within your hearts good to be there to hear you and to be encouraged, I trust, one with another. But the women had witnessed. They had heard. They had seen Joseph. Joseph, who's he? Not the husband of Mary, but Joseph of Arimathea, that rich man. And Nicodemus, one of the Sanhedrin, one of the Jewish leaders. Those two had come, and they had seen them take Jesus down from the cross. And apparently they had followed him, taken with the spices they had brought, somewhat prepared him, placed him in a tomb. They had been there. The women. Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene. Demon possessed. Seven demons. One not enough. Seven demons within her. And Jesus had set her free. Oh, how she loved Jesus. In the right way. Mary. Mary, the mother of James the Less, one of the disciples. And Salome is also mentioned. The mother of sons of thunder. James and John. And Luke 24 tells us that Joanna, another one of the women who was named. And then we're also told there were others. Unnamed. But they were there, the women. Their task, complete the work of Joseph and Nicodemus. Died on Friday. Get him off the cross quickly. We can't have the curse of someone hanging on the cross on the Sabbath day. And so, in the tomb. And there on the Sabbath day. But the Sabbath ends sundown Saturday night. And the shops are open. And so they had been off to the shops, to the stores, to get some spices, to get the proper ingredients to complete the work of Joseph and Nicodemus. They were ready. Sunday morning, still dark. We start out. We've got about two miles to walk. Bethany, probably. And coming over to the tomb. Before the dawn arose. This morning I want us to examine this very familiar event. And I want to leave with you four imperatives. Four commands. I want us to look at these commands and to see, as I trust we are encouraged this resurrection Lord's Day, but also challenged in our commitment to He who is alive, the Lord Jesus Christ. Come, see, go, tell. Notice first, we must act in spite of obstacles. Verse 1, Matthew 28, they came. They came. Grief they had. Fears they, and especially the men, had. The fear apparently had stopped the men from coming. And the grief. What do we do now with our lives? Jesus is gone, we thought. My first thought is, I thought women were supposed to be the emotional ones who would cave. But the women had been there. It's far too easy for all of us, I want to say, to allow our emotions, even fears, to drive our life. To drive our lives away from doing what sometimes we really believe we should be doing or ought to do. How often haven't you felt like not doing something? And so you didn't. Pastor John David, I wanted to speak this Good Friday, but put me down for next year. Not me personally. I believe if I'm here, I'll be speaking sometime during Easter week next year. But for some of you, in the fear of speaking, you don't believe me, you think I'm lying, but I'm nervous every time. And my mother told me that's good, because then I'm dependent upon God. The same way all of us need to be if we really believe in the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And what was it Dave Rose said? And Sheldon, was it the two of you guys who talked about, I'm in the military now with my commander, the Lord Jesus Christ? Wow. Yes, it's too easy to give in. The reality of spiritual battles implies there are going to be hindrances. Do you hear that? The reality of spiritual warfare. Ephesians chapter 6, we start a new study on Sunday mornings. Next week, I guess it is. With the book of Ephesians. Chapter 6, it'll be a while before we get there. I don't think 8 years, but it'll be a while. But if we believe in spiritual warfare, you got to know there are going to be hindrances and obstacles in your way to keep you from doing what God would have you to be doing. We need to act beyond our grief and fears, which too easily can paralyze us. We need to understand the practical reality can deter us from doing what we ought to be doing. I mean, we are to be practical. We are to understand reality. We are to use our minds. We are to look at the situation, and the situation for them, we've got a stone in front of the tomb. Now, if I understand correctly, the body is behind the stone. To get to the body, to anoint the body and fulfill that job that had begun, there's a stone there. Forgive me, but we are women. The stone, gigantic, normally in a crevice, a channel, is rolled downhill. Now, I don't know that they could continue to roll it downhill, which would be the easiest, but part of me assumes it had to go back from where it came. I could be wrong there. In any case, it's large. It's set. It didn't stop them. Definitely was an obstacle. Mark 18, verse 3 shares that the women were talking about that on the way. Oh, by the way, remember there's a stone. What are we going to do? I don't know. Got to do something? I don't know. It didn't stop them. The practical reality, stone too heavy to move. There it sits in front of the entrance to what we're looking for. I mean, common sense would say, hey guys, before we go to the tomb, let's think about it. No, there's no way we're going to get in. So why spend the money for the anointing elements? Why waste the time? Why not just stay here? Maybe even just give up on life. What's the use? Jesus is gone. Practical reality. Common sense. No. Sometimes we need to step beyond. If God is leading you to do something, and step out. You're too tiny. You're too young. You're too old. Don't even try. But there's something inside me that says God wants me to. I don't know what drove those women. But we must act in spite of hindrances, obstacles. So they came. They simply came. John chapter 20, verse 1, while it was still dark, as I mentioned, Bethany some 2 miles away, the sun is rising. And what are you doing? Verse 5 here in our text, we're looking for Jesus. Looking for Jesus. That drove them on. And I suggest, if you're here today and really looking for purpose, for meaning in life, you need not look any other place than to Jesus. He is life. And He has you here for purposes that are His. In spite of obstacles, in spite of fears, in spite of grief, I feel so alone or whatever it might be. Yes, they came. They came, we are told, on the first day of the week. The Jews didn't have names. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and we're back to Saturday again. We have one day, Shabbat, Sabbath. That's the day. That's the day, the Sabbath. After the Sabbath comes the first day of the week. We call it Sunday. It became the day of worship for Christians. Reading this week in one of my magazines again, what a change that was for Christians who basically were Jewish and knew of one day of worship, Shabbat. Something must have happened that caused that change. As I've alluded to already this morning, it's the reality of the first day of the week when they came, the tomb was empty because Jesus rose from the dead. And in his rising, those Christians wanted to commemorate that day. And they gathered on the first day of the week to worship. And every first day of the week, every Sunday, was a reminder to... Is it to you? Every Sunday? Why are we going to church on Sunday? Why is it so important to go to church on Sunday? Why do my wife and I, when we go on vacation, we look for a place to go? First day of the week, first day of the week. It's a reminder to me, he is risen indeed from the dead. And we come to worship as they did and have continued to for over 2,000 years. Yes, they came. I encourage you, I challenge you to be looking for Jesus and to be living for this one as you have found him to be. And let nothing stand in your way. Your emotions, your fears, your plans, your loved ones, your own agenda, whatever it might be. But I want to serve Jesus. I want to live for him because I have found him and found him to be who he declares himself to be and who he has showed himself to be within my life. Again, I'm getting tired of all the trash I hear, all the garbage that's out there. This world ain't the same. You've heard that so many times from me. But it's true. It was true. It was mentioned in Sunday school, I think it was this morning, about how churches used to be filled with strangers, the C&E people, come to church only on Christmas and Easter. They were known for that. But no, we don't want to be known as C&E, so we don't go at all. And why go to something we really don't believe in, to be with people we really don't care for, or to hear a boring message from a man who perhaps doesn't know what he's talking about, or maybe he does. No, we must act in spite of obstacles. Second command, we must live in praise as we trust God. I want to give you an illustration this morning. I want to take you back into that old covenant. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, if you turn there, please, because we're going to be coming back to it again a little bit later this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We have a king, Jehoshaphat. Jehovah, God, Shaphat, judges, I believe. He's king. And we've got a problem here because we've got the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Munites in verse 1 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And they is coming to war against the sons of God, the Jews. Verse 3, chapter 20. Jehoshaphat was afraid, turned his attention to seek the Lord. Good place to go. Proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Hey, guys, we're in trouble. They're coming against us. What are we going to do? Wow. I move on to verse 15. Because the Lord responded to their heart seeking him. And he said, listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you. Do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. You need not fight in this battle. If I don't fight, I don't die. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves, stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to face them. For the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, the Lord is always with you. He's promised. He's promised. But it's not always the case that you need not fight. Sometimes you need to look for a job. Sometimes you need to go to the doctor. Sometimes you need to do whatever or fight. Israel fought many battles. The Lord was with David as he fought even against Goliath, wasn't he? So it's not always true just sit back and let God, because God's going to do something. But our women are on their way to the tomb. And we're talking about that stone. And we haven't planned. We definitely haven't given up. We're still going. But oh, the shock and the amazement. Because God worked for them. God worked for them. There's an earthquake. An angel of the Lord. Luke and John will tell us there were two angels. But here it's singular. One who's acting, God knows. But he rolled the stone away. God took care of it for him. And miraculously, God is there. Miraculously. Not only was the stone removed, and I remind you, the stone was not removed so Jesus could get out. Jesus was long gone. Remember the grave clothes that are on the inside? It's as if they weren't touched. I get out of bed in the morning and at least I throw the covers off. I don't just go through the covers. Diana normally makes the bed. When she's gone, I make the bed. The grave clothes were untouched. He was gone. The stone was removed so that the empty tomb might be seen by those who would come to look for the body of Jesus. Oh, the Roman seal. Remember, you got the stone covering the opening, and you got a seal going across it, which you can't move the stone if you were going to attempt to move the stone without breaking the seal. And what that seal meant was you touch this and break this and you will deal with Rome. Basically, you forfeit your life. And the guards? The women did not know about the seal. The women did not know about the guards. They came to a tomb, a normal tomb with a body inside and a stone in front. But God's work took care of the seal. And God's work took care of the guards. And yes, the work of God was there. Earthquake, angel of the Lord, the stone is moved, and Jesus is gone. How do we respond to obstacles and hindrances? And how do we respond to when we see deliverance? Our women are filled with fear and joy. Fear, because they meet angels. And joy, because the body is gone. And they go to report back. How many obstacles does not God remove that we're not even aware of in our lives? I'm sure many of you have thought about it. An accident when I was driving my car that could have been, I wasn't even aware. And yes, that delay that frustrates me because I'm not getting as quickly to where I wanted to go. But that delay was there because God said, I don't want you to get in the accident that happened. So many things we're not aware of. I'm reminded of the psalmist in Psalm 90. That's in my Bible here somewhere, Psalm 90. And just the word of promise that was here. Psalm 90 and verse 11 is what I want to read. And 90 comes after 27, so I'm going in the wrong direction. 91 verse 11. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Yes, we've been talking in Hebrews about the wrong use of angels. You don't worship them. Remember some of the Jews thinking of giving up their Christianity and walking away from truth. We go back to worshiping the angels and the belief in guardian angels and so forth. Well, he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. There's so much about that world we cannot see that we do not know. Back to spiritual warfare. It exists. It's real. The Bible says so. Can't see it. Even with my glasses off or on. But do we believe God? Do we believe God's word? And to understand the work of God and what he's about and what he is doing. So when I see God's deliverance, and when I don't even see it, because I wasn't aware there was a problem, an obstacle, a danger, how do I live? We must live in praise. I'm back in 2 Chronicles 20 because we haven't finished the story there. 2 Chronicles 20. You notice here, I pick up at verse 18. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. We'll come back to that. Verse 20, they rose early in the morning, went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, O Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God." Remember, verse 17, you won't have to fight this one. "Put your trust in the Lord your God and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed." When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in the holy attire as he went out before the army and said, "Give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness is everlasting." When they began singing and when they began singing, we're already praising before the victory has been won. Imagine that. God, I don't know how, and I'm not even sure you're going to do it the way I think or want you to do it. But I want to thank you because you're there. And you've got victory for me on the other side. Whether I see it or not. That's faith to believe in a God who loves you and only allows or brings into your life, you've heard it, that which is good for you and brings glory to him. Boy, I have to believe that. It's called faith. Trust. I'm your child. This is who you are. This is what you say about me. But they're already praising. When they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against. And as you continue on, they wind up wiping out one another. And Israel sees the results. But there's praise there. Praise there. And thanks there. The old chorus, another one I grew up with, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and somewhat add full and free." So rich, full, and free. To live in praise. To live with thanksgiving, thankfulness. And I still remember the two from, I want to say, Wisconsin, who came to sing up in New Hampshire in our church. And sang about an attitude of gratitude. An attitude of gratitude. We are far too unthankful. Kids, are you thanking mom and dad for the meals? Are you thanking them for the roof over your head, for your clothes? Are we learning to say thank you to others when they do something for us? Open the door or whatever it is. And thank you again, kitchen crew, for breakfast this morning. Yeah. For going out of your way to be here yesterday at 10 o'clock, and I don't know how long they stayed, at least at 10:05, at least. But thank you for some who laughed at it. It was an attempt. But again, just an attitude of praise and thankfulness. God is so good, and he is worthy of it, and so many others as well. We must live in praise. Thirdly, we must live on the basis of God's word. That was pounded this morning when John David in Sunday school shared, "What kind of a church are we?" We are people who want to be known for living by the word. Not just experience, not just music, emotions, not just whatever, but the word of God. So imperative. Too often we act foolishly. Too often we act dumbly. again. The women starting out. On a fool's errand. We're looking for what? The body of Jesus. Good intentions, but stupidity in what they were doing. In John chapter 20, verse 2, we're told Mary Magdalene rushed off before she even saw an angel. She rushed off because she was down. Why was she down? Because I come for the body of Jesus to anoint it. The stone is moved, but the body is gone. And she rushes off to tell Peter and John, who before the other disciples will rush off. The body's gone. Somebody stole the body. First thing they can think of. Someone has taken it away. They were seeking Jesus. Verse 5 of our text says, Jesus who was crucified. And the angels were there. Again, it's Luke and John who tells us there were two. And the angels lovingly, I want to say, rebuked them. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? Huh? We're here to find Jesus. We're here to see his body. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? He is not here. Verse 6 of our text. He is risen. He is risen. How foolish. Again, he had told them that. He had told them that over and over and over again. And yes, they, like a me, like a you, too often have ears that hear but don't hear. Or we hear and we think we see but we don't believe, and it can't be. I go to another song, it just came to me. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line, all our blessings. And there are some promises there. I will not perish. There's no condemnation for me. That's the positive side of that. Because as a believer, I've been promised no condemnation, but assurance of being in heaven. But by and large, to pull out God's word and to hold on to it and to mull on it, think on it, to ask the questions about it. How does this apply to me? God, what are you trying to say to me? Hey, I've got my doubts, I've got this, I've got that, I've got people telling me. There are books that are out there, there are other churches that are out there. Just told this week again. What was it, Long's Park or whatever, the people of Lancaster who county or whatever committee runs that, has apologized now for not allowing, was it a gay pride presentation or proclamation or whatever to take place there. See, there are Christians who don't believe as you do. They may call themselves Christians, and maybe you do. But unless we've gone by the Word, and a number of times in Sunday school this morning, we've got to look at that Word. What do you mean by? What do you mean by? What do you mean by? Because definitions matter. And God, what are you saying? This is the book that I have to go by. Help me to understand it carefully and clearly. And then not only to understand it, but to live it and apply it in my life. They were on a foolish mission and lovingly rebuke. And in Luke 24, verse 8, and they remembered his words. They remembered his words. How many words and promises don't you and I need to remember before we act stupidly, looking for the dead body of Jesus when he's alive? They should have known better. But so should I sometimes. And I'm pretty sure so should you. No better than the way we act. Tempted, we fall. Too easily. Because we do not remember 1 Corinthians 10:13. No trial or temptation has happened to you, but such as is common to man. It's a natural thing. It happens to others besides. You're not the only one with that temptation, by the way. But God is faithful. Really? Do I believe that? Who will not allow you to be tempted or tested or tried, depending on how you define the word. It's all there. Beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape. Escape. I don't have to fall. But too often I do. Remember his words. I'm with you. Holy Spirit's there to enable me. I can say no. I don't have to go along with you. I don't have to give in to these thoughts that bombard me. I don't have to. I've got an option. I've got a will. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, I can say no. Trials too easily come and we cave in. It's tough to be a Christian. No, I don't agree with that. I've said it before. It's impossible to be a Christian. Impossible on your own. None of us can do it. None of us will be triumphant on our own. But yes, it was mentioned in Sunday school. I think it was there. It's running through my mind. With God, all things are possible. That I know is in the Word. With God, all things are possible. We can feel so alone and sorry for ourselves. And we've forgotten. I will never leave you. I'm with you always. So whatever situation it is, why do I feel so blue, so down? Hey, Jesus, it's you and I. Oh, that's right. If you're on my side, what can stand against me? What can bring me down? Nothing if I hold on to you. You're holding on to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being here. Thank you for another day. What do you have for me today as I move forward? They should have known better. And we are instructed. We are instructed as they were. They were first given an assurance by the angels, do not be afraid. The guards, Roman guards, shook. They had been fearful. Luke 24, verse 5, they were terrified. The same word, I believe, that's earthquake comes from, terrified. They were earthquaked to the point of death. What a shock. What a shock. The girls, the women, they expected to see a body and to anoint it. They were terrified now with angels here and no body. Yes, they were given assurance. Do not be afraid. And then they were given a job to do. Go quickly and tell the men. And talking to someone this morning, they were talking about how uniquely God reaches out to individuals. And I couldn't remember if I was going to preach it now, and I'm going to preach it now, or if I had used it in another sermon this past week. But how preciously, when the instruction is given to them, and Peter. Peter, who, boisterous, loud, cocky, everybody else denies you, not me, Lord, not me. But tell Peter, because Peter knew. Can you picture in your mind Peter's eyes as he's there warming himself by the fire? Jesus on trial. And the scripture so pointedly speaks of apparently eye contact between the two after his third denial. Oh, you warned me about it. I should have known better and been on my guard. And should always speak up for Jesus. But you go tell Peter, the disciples and Peter. I just love those two words there. Yes, to understand again the reality. Mark is the one. You don't find it in Matthew. It's Mark's gospel and Peter. Tell the disciples and Peter. Yes, we must live on the basis of his word. We must do that for our assurance. God tells me I'm saved because I have complied. God tells me I'm saved because the word tells me his spirit within me encourages me to know the reality. It gives me tests. I believe I spoke on that Thursday night. The love of the brethren should be assurance to you. If you don't love other Christians here in the body of Christ, you better question whether you're saved. If you don't want to be with other women, with other young people, with other men, with the body of Christ, you better question, where am I at with Jesus? Because the love of the brethren, whom you see as I look around at you, how can I say I love him who I cannot see? Is what the word says. You read 1 John and see again. But he gives me by his word assurance of my relationship with him. But he also gives me instructions on how to live. And yes, in your going, tell. Matthew 28:19-20. Again, it was spoken about a bit this morning in Sunday school about baptism. Yes. But your instructions there by Jesus, his last words in Matthew 28. In your going, make disciples. Make disciples. Tell them. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them what you've seen. Tell them what you've experienced. You've got that instruction. If you're young and in school, if you're young and playing on teams, if you're working and out with others in the workforce, if you're walking down the street shopping and you run into people, Lord, do you have something for me to say to that one? I believe we're to be looking for opportunities. God will give us opportunities. I'm not saying, and I certainly don't do it, stop with everyone I see or give everyone I see a tract or whatever, but Lord, help me. And on the phone, looking for something. Lord, is there a way here? A conversation? Is there something here that I can open up with? Is that Merv in the corner that I can't see? He's hiding from me. There he is. Thank you, Merv. I'm going to get this wrong, Merv, and you can correct me publicly to everyone. I went to see him on his new job. Between the church and my house, there's a big, I call it a mini mansion. And he, I can't remember how many sheets of sheetrock. Top floor, second floor. But I went to see the house. No, I went to see Merv. I wanted to see what the house was like on the inside this week. So I stopped in to see Merv. I told him I was coming. And as I left him, I went outside, and here was a lady sitting down, one of the workers. I began talking to her. They asked Merv and who she was and found out a little bit more about her. I had asked her a number of personal questions. And somehow between them, Merv may have shared, I don't know if he said it, but he's old-fashioned, my preacher, or something like that. I think it was something like that he said. In any case, yeah, he asked me a few questions, and then he asked me about Jesus. He asked me about Jesus. I believe she's a Christian. I asked Merv, and he thought so too. And whatnot. But it was just, the Lord just, yeah. And I shared, was it Thursday night? I shared about Nancy Bookbinder. And again, I just have to tell you, I just have to ask you. I am scared of doing things like that. You don't believe me, probably. I'm brash and bold and arrogant, whatever. No, I'm nervous. But I want to love people because Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. And I look back on my life, and I was doing that back in school, junior high, in high school, the same thing. And I walked across the street where there were about 200 kids lighting up and drinking up and whatever to talk to some of them about Jesus. Crazy. I wasn't a pastor then. I was headed to the business world. But God's been working in my heart for all these years, and this is the 50th Easter Sunday. What a privilege. God, you've been good to me. And continue to allow me to speak for you. Yes, we have instructions. You are my ambassadors. You are my representatives. What you have experienced, what you've tasted, the salvation you have, don't be selfish. Don't keep it to yourself. But pass it on. One final command, we must ever be ready to worship. First thing I noticed here, the obedient heart is free to worship. The obedient heart is free to worship. Verse 7 of our text, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. He's going to meet you up in Galilee. Verse 8, they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. And ran to, we're going to be obedient, we're going to go back and tell. And why not? What a miracle. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. They came up and took hold of his feet. And worshiped him. And worshiped him. Yes, when we're disobedient, I would say we normally don't feel like worshiping. When we obey and we see him. fall down at his feet. My mind just saw pictures in front of me. I'm coming home to heaven and seeing Jesus. Wow! We shall behold him in all of his glory. The obedient heart is free to worship. Meeting Jesus brings worship naturally. And that's why I've often asked, have you met Jesus? Have you really met him? Have you really known that your sins are forgiven? If that is reality, then wow. Hallelujah, what a Savior. What a Savior. Yes, free to worship. They had sought Jesus in the grave. They were looking for the wrong Jesus. And many today are looking for the wrong Jesus. We're looking for the Jesus to get me out of my troubles. He can do that. Sometimes he knows you need to squeeze on you because we get too free and loose without it. But again, the wrong Jesus. To give me heaven, but not to order me around on how to live, because I've got my own thoughts on how I should be living. My good luck charm. So I wear it around my neck, and I don't have a problem with wearing a cross or whatever. But for some, that's about where it's at and where it ends, because I don't want to know any instructions, because I know what I want to do with my life. No, to find the right Jesus, the true Jesus, wow, when I see his reality, yes, oh, how I love Jesus. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. That needs to be our response by faith. And remember, faith. Faith comes by hearing of the word. Hearing of the word. That's in Romans 10, isn't it? 17. Faith comes by hearing of the word. So the more of the word I take in, then the obstacles and the trials that come in this life, he's with me. He removes them or takes me through them. Either way. But to remember again, it also weeds out true seekers of Jesus. Trials and obstacles weed out the soils. Remember? The pressures or the delights of this world. They squeeze out Jesus. It's too much. I can't have my family not want to follow me or me be allowed to be part of them because you've become a fanatic for Jesus. Oh, may it be that we are truly the right kind of fanatics for Jesus and whatever it takes. I remind you, you will seek me and find me when you seek for me with all of your heart. Jeremiah 29:13, the promise that is there. Summed up, come like the women. You'll find more than you ever hoped for. They certainly did. Let nothing hinder you, keep you from this Jesus. Take hold of all the promises of his word. Live in the reality of praise and worship. And go, and go, and go, and tell others of this one you love so much. He is alive. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the word. The same old word. But with a freshness now, I trust, because you've said so, of your Holy Spirit taking it to our hearts and minds. And may we be willing to have it applied within. We have choices to make. I believe it was Seth Watts, Friday night, who made that very, very clear, and rightfully so. Help us. Help us to choose the ways that honor you in every aspect. And Lord Jesus, thank you once again for dying. And Father, thank you for the raising of your Son. Thank you for the power of the resurrection. Thank you of that same power that is there to enable us to fulfill what you've called us to be and do. To you be the glory in Jesus' name.